Welcome to Tuesday night. And the next round on communication with God. And so we're on page 7 in the syllabus. And moving on to another part of the subject. We have talked about Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about praise tonight, and then as we move on down, probably, maybe we'll tag into next week with worship. We'll see how it goes tonight with this. So we're working through these realms of appreciation to God, or with thanksgiving and praise, and then really worship is kind of that. It's an attitude that involves that. So that's the direction that we're going. I save the appeal still later and confession and that kind of thing. So I think we will accomplish what we need to as we move along. So let's pray and embark on some study. Thank you again, Father, for the evening. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for these truths. We're thankful, too, that when we learn these things, it gives us an opportunity to think in terms of what we can expect when we talk to you, and what we can understand of your response to us. And we live in a day where there are those who have all kinds of interesting views of what prayer is, and they take it from all over the book if they're in the book, and yet they are not blessed because they haven't had the privilege of going through these words that are so pertinent, and it makes a lot of difference as we relate. May you bless the hour, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we start, and this is going to be a little bit of rote almost, because we're going to do it almost every time, and that is, when we talk about communication, we are reminded that grace communication involves these 8 kinds of communication, 7 of which are most pertinent. Like I said, the one I've been saved a couple of years, and in the time I've been saved, I have never ever used the vow. I haven't found a need to, and I have known about it for 50 years probably, and in fact, probably more than that now I think about it, but I still haven't used it. I haven't felt there was a need to. I haven't been in a position where I felt there was a need. But I know it's there in case. So we're looking at these, we're running in 2 batches of 3. The first 3 involve communicating, asking, or being involved with something, anticipating divine response. But we're working now in this section where we are expressing appreciation, or expressing responses to God that are positive without asking for anything. And so we're looking at those. Now, we need to be well reminded that there are those who deny that there are more than a couple, and the best that some of these people can do is the 4 kinds of communication, and that little acronym that was used many years ago, continues to be used off and on, I run into it, is ACTS. And that is asking, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That's pretty much the way they handled it. Which is kind of interesting. Or did I say asking? Yeah, I did. And so that's really where the whole idea of communication with God has been, narrowed it down, missing the fine-tuning elements of it. We don't sit down and have a little chart that says, I'm going to spend this much time asking, this much time in intercession, this much time in supplication, this much time in thanksgiving, this much time in worship and praise. And so we don't need to do that. But if we don't take it apart, we won't understand it altogether, and as it flows. And I know those who have been through this material in evening school and in seminary classes, they might talk to me about some need, and or might even ask me to communicate with a father about something. And when I hear, I usually think it through and say, oh, so I will intercede or I will supplicate in that matter. And they normally understand what I'm doing in that situation. And so so we need to find out that there's more than just four. How do you do it? There are two passages of scripture that are going to show us that there are five at least. And usually confession is not a problem with some people, so that would force us into six at least. So what are those two passages? We have Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. I faked you out, didn't I? I was going to go to 2 Timothy 2, but I thought we do it the other way around usually. And in Philippians 4, 6, we have four. And so that reminder, those four different kinds, it's a little different grammatically. What we do know, we have definite articles in the first few of those. Let me get over there so I can see it with my own two eyes. My mind is still spinning. I have been working on that forum paper as I've gone between jumping around the community today. But Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer of worship. So it is by prayer. And it literally says by the prayer and the supplications. So you have a definite article in front of both of them. And so you have two kinds there. After thanksgivings, King James translates it with thanksgivings. There's a rule of grammar that the translators of the King James didn't pick up. They do in other passages. And that is the meta, which is translated with in most cases, when it's found with an accusative, that is a direct object, it is translated after. That's just an old standard rule of grammar. Thanksgiving is a plural. So you have thanksgiving, that's number three. Number four says, let your requests, and the word request is itema, and it's the word for asking. So there are four there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And I'm not going to go on into that. We did earlier. I'm just trying to review so we have the picture so we can do this. It's of value. A lot of people, I'm finding more and more there are people who are not concerned about going to Scripture to learn something. They just want to play church and miss the point of why the Word of God is here. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort or I encourage or I come alongside, I'm called alongside to encourage you. Therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers of worship, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men. And so we have four, and we do have this, there's the overlap, we had requests or askings over in 4:6, and here we have intercessions added. And so that tells us there are five different kinds in two passages. And so that's pretty easy, I think, just to remember those. Last week, we looked at the word for thanksgiving and worked our way through it. The word thanksgiving is a compound word. It means what? Good, that's the EU in front of it. Charistia, that's charis's grace, is for the, it's a response to the good grace of God. The definite definition is important in that thanksgiving is an expression of appreciation for a benefit that God provides. And so we say, thank you, Father, for whatever benefit comes our way. Now, praise, on the other hand, in spite of the problem that we mentioned on the way out last week in Hebrews chapter 13, if the translators of the King James hadn't done what they did, and there is absolutely no reason for them to have done so. Hebrews 13:15 says in the King James, but by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And the problem with the King James and its translation and others who follow it is the translation giving thanks. So in other words, you read that verse and you cannot tell the difference between praise and thanksgiving in the English text. And that's inaccurate. There is not a translation that is, or a text that has the word thanksgiving, any form of Eucharistia or Eucharisteo. There's not a textual problem there. The word is that is here is homologeo, or I got the right one. It's a verb. And it's the word to confess. It's to say the same thing. And so that's where we're heading. And that is Hebrews 13:15 is the key verse in this subject. Last week I suggested that if you keep track of biblical definitions, you ought to add Hebrews 13:15 for praise. And when you do it, put Greek or whatever. So you know that you're not going to say it's Thanksgiving, because it isn't. And so that's one of them. You can put that, you know, that'd be right after Hebrews 11:1, you know, the faith definition. We have enough of those. Biblical definitions are a whole lot better than our man-made definitions. I've known people say, when you do your own definitions, it's easier to understand. Well, if you understand the text, it's saying it like God wants it said instead of like man. And we have enough of those definitions like hope in Romans 8 and that kind of thing. A doctrinal definition, I've used Dr. Schaefer's definition for many years. His definition was praise is a communication with God in which there is a responsive appreciation for some aspect of God's character which was responsible for the benefits received by the believer. You receive benefits. God does something, one way or another. Remember, we learned in Thanksgiving, we're thankful for all things, in all things, at all times, for all men. And that can be positive or negative in some ways. I mean, when we're in all things, we're not always in good things all the time. Things can happen that are very difficult. And so we express in praise an appreciation for the character of God. Now, why can we say that? Because of Hebrews 13:15. We offer the fruit of our lips continually, confessing his name. That is not a title. That it is not one of the titles of the persons of the Godhead. It involves character. And so we are saying the same thing he does about his character. How is his character expressed? It is expressed by his attributes. The divine attributes are the basis for his activity. And so when we go through the attributes, that's why theology proper class is really a great class. It's a very important class, because then we can think in terms of God and his different basis for activity. And you can have an event that's repeated. Something will happen. Say you just sat down to a great meal and the dessert was key lime pie. Now, I say that because I always like key lime pie. And it was especially good. And so I would undoubtedly say, thank you, Father, for that. And then my response could be, you are sure good. You sure made me happy. And that was praise. You could say, you knew what I needed. That would be kind of encouragement to have that key lime pie there. And that would be reminding me of his omniscience. And then there are different ways, things that he provides. They can get a response because you're thinking about God and how he relates. And lots of times the Holy Spirit puts an exclamation point behind that. So praise is the fruit of our lips. I need to say this before we get into the breakout of it, and that is, fruit of our lips means it is something that can be expressed verbally. In other words, it is a rational communication with the Father. most of our praise as we mature in our salvation is going to be mental. We don't have to say words to do that, but in our mind it is something we need to know that we can articulate. And we articulate it mentally. And God understands it. He's grasped it. We don't have to say it. And, I'll save it until after we get to this breakout. That is, the words, we have two different forms of the word for praise. One is a simple form, and that is inesis or ineo. Inesis is the noun. Here the sis ending on the end. It's describing an action. So when we say praise, it's an action related to praise. Ineo is the verb. I didn't put the verb in there. I did down low, but I didn't put it up on the header. Okay, so it's ineo and ineo. Ineo is down on the verbal form on B2. And then the other form is a compound. It has an ep or epi in front of it. It's up on praise. It seems to be a little bit more intense by having the epi. It seems to be a bit, maybe a little bit more personal. So though it's a simple noun or compound form in each case. Now the verb is ineo. It occurs 9 times in 4 New Testament books. It's in Luke. It's in Acts. And Romans and Revelation. So we're probably going to spend more time in Romans and in Acts to some point in that matter. Now the compound verb is epineo. It occurs 6 times in 3 New Testament books. I forgot to put those in here, didn't I? We'll be into those though. And they're always normally translated praise in the AV, except for this compound, and it's translated laud and honor. It's not Lord and honor, it's laud. It's the old word that has the idea of praise. And you read it in literature every now and then. And then the word commend is interesting. And we will get there. The noun form zinos occurs twice in Matthew 21 and Luke 18. And the sis ending, as I mentioned, describes an action. I mean, it describes something going on. It was itema, I'm in the wrong column here. Inema, it would be describing the result of an action. That's not the case in this. We'll see it in itema later. Was for asking. So, inos is cursed twice. Epinesis is found 11 times in 6 books. Now, it occurs a lot more often. That inesis, with that ending, is found in Hebrews 13:15. In other words, we have 29 passages of references where we can go to study this term, all off in this one root. So essentially, we really technically have 5 words, 2 of which are nouns, 3 of which are verb. I mean, 3 of which are nouns, 2 of which are verbs. And so, it's interesting that one verse uses both forms. That's in the book of Romans chapter 15, and verse 11. You wouldn't notice it unless I told you, because it's in the Greek, and I'll read it to you in the AV, 15:11. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and loud him, all ye people." So yeah, praise and loud. That's where we have the epi form used that way. And we'll be back there and identify that. That citation comes out of Psalm 117 and that. So we'll be back there. But so it gives you some backdrop. Now, let's say this again. Most of you know what I'm talking about, so, but it won't hurt to do it again. We live in a day where there are people that say, praise the Lord, all the time. I'll use the illustration. I was impressed because when I was pastoring in California, we had a Christian school, and we had a policy that if we had problems with the kids, then we could call the fathers. We tried not to call the mothers. We felt that the fathers ought to take the responsibility and handle some of those things. So anyway, I called when we had a consequential discipline issue, and I called a parent of someone who our school had from quite a few different churches. We had kids, and I was rather shocked when the dad answered the phone and he said, praise the Lord. And my reaction was, I don't know whether you want to praise the Lord or what I'm going to say to you or not. But that was the way he answered the phone, always. Praise the Lord. Well, he wasn't praising the Lord, and he needed some background in understanding it, because, again, you usually have thanks before praise. I have this habit, and some of you have heard me. Instead of saying praise the Lord, somebody tells me God's done something, and I'll say thank the Lord. And it's kind of fun to watch people react. You know, why did you say thank the Lord? And they start thinking about it, and then I can almost see those who get caught a little, they end up with a little grin on their face because they understand. Always teaching, you know. Now, its distinction as a New Testament word. Oh, I better talk about praise the Lord. Just says, you guys praise the Lord. It's hallelujah. Hallelujah in the Old Testament. That's where praise the Lord comes from. You'll see it translated praise the Lord there. Hallel is to praise. It's more a verbal kind of praise, more activity. You can praise the Lord on the cymbal. You can praise the Lord on a harp in the Old Testament. We don't use musical instruments to praise the Lord, because you can praise him without an instrument. But David did, and those who were in the related to the temple, the Solomonic temple later. But praise always relates to the character of God in his providing a believer a benefit. It always relates to his character. So when you think of that, I think often that God makes a point of it, of saying, I have done this for you, so you think of me. And you're thinking specific things of me. And you start thinking down through attributes, it's a great way to review about who your God is and what he does. And the basis for that activity. The more you know about God, the better your praise will be. The more you understand him, the better you'll be able to praise him. And it's easier to identify these things. Now in Hebrews 13:15, there's another dimension to this thing of praise. Because in Hebrews 13:15, it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. And this is one of the sacrifices of a grace believer priest. There are three sacrifices listed in Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. And so you have the three of them. The next verses after 13:15, where we have the definition, identify two other sacrifices of the believer priest, and that involves doing good and a fellowship or sharing in common. I always have to go back and look at the way the AV does it, because I haven't translated it that way for so long. I have to check. Sometimes I try to forget things. I laughed all the years I've had to try to forget all the Ten Commandments, because I just, it was my negative reaction. It says, but to do good, that's pretty easy. And to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The word communicate is the word koinonia. It's the word for fellowship. It's the word for sharing in common. And so when you look at this passage, you have three of the sacrifices. There are six sacrifices that are called sacrifices in the New Testament. I will not go beyond the six. Some people want to add different sacrifices. Scripture doesn't call it that. I'm not going to call it that. And so the other is a sacrifice of the physical body in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We let your bodies to be a living sacrifice. In Philippians 2:17, you have the sacrifice of faith. Sacrifice of giving is in 4:18 of Philippians. So those are the six passages that describe the sacrifice of the believer priest. So praise is a sacrifice that should be offered rather frequently every day. Isn't it nice to be able to offer a sacrifice? You don't have to kill an animal. You don't have to drag it off to the temple. But these are not blood sacrifices. They're spiritual sacrifice that God counts as probably more pleasing than any blood sacrifice in the Old Testament. And to know that when you're praising the Lord, He counts it to be a spiritual sacrifice, and it's impressing Him with a sweet smelling savor. We can understand that it's pleasant to Him when we do that. And so that is a sacrifice of each believer priest. Works best, of course, when you're a spiritual believer and you offer the sacrifice and you know you're pleasing Him by what you're doing. And that praise is frequently coordinated with thanksgiving. It's hard for me anymore to divorce them in any way, because whenever I am thankful, I am inevitably praising God as a result. And that's taken me years to train my mind to respond in that way. And so, you know, I can walk in the front door having been somewhere and thank the Lord for something that's happened while I was out, and I'm into praise just as quick as can be. And sometimes I articulate it. I can do that because I'm all by myself at home. That way nobody thinks I'm totally crazy. And so I do. And it's a blessing to be able to do that together. Praise is primarily addressed to the Father. I am more and more convinced that it is only directed to the Father. There's not one verse that says we direct it to the Son or the Holy Spirit. And when I did these notes, I could say, I said earlier with the charis thing in Thanksgiving, that's the only verse in the whole New Testament where any kind of communication by the English translation would be directed to any other person. Because if your praise is through the agency of Christ and by the Spirit, to the Father, it's all going to deity, and that makes a big difference. We're going to see the things that we do can praise God, and that's on down. Our believers' works can be a praise to God. A work done out of a love motivation, a work done out of faith motivation, when you do a work and there's an expression of joy, it can all be praise to God. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit are a manifestation of the character of God the Son, which is also a manifestation of the character of the Trinity. And so we have that opportunity. Our lives should bring praise. Whether somebody reacts to it or the fact that we know that God is doing a work in us, and we are so appreciative to Him to take fallen, sinful persons and save them and to be able to produce some of His character in relationship to life. Believers' victories in trial will ultimately bring praise to God. Sometimes it's hard to praise God when there's trial. Sometimes it's very difficult. It's hard to be thankful in some circumstances. We have especially issues with our physical bodies, but there are a lot of other things that are difficult. And we are thankful to make it through. And then suddenly we realize that God is doing that to make us better, what do I want to say, have better clay pots so people can see the manifestation of the character of God. through our eternal life. So I need to make this statement in number 9 on page 8. New Testament praise is totally different than Old Testament praise. And I mentioned hallelujah already, but the idea there is more of a physical action. There are some churches, and I hate to do this, I'm going to spoil you if you go get into some of these. When I hear people in a church that are asked to give the Lord a hand or that kind of thing, I feel bad because my spiritual gift tells me they're untaught. And so they want to give him a hand or raise your hands. That's physical action. Give us a drum roll from the stage band with the cheerleaders. And that's not praise. That's Old Testament. That is using cheerleaders, as it were, in that matter. So. No, I think I got some of those earlier tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to answer it and say, give me your credit card number and give me your number on the back of your card and your name on it. And I'm charging you $20 a minute. And it's going to take a few minutes to make sure that it clears. So I charge for anybody who calls me. So it's not. But I have to be careful. Okay. So we are at a break in this, where we started D. But these generalities are a general overview of where we're going through these passages of scripture that we have. We'll go through most of the 29 as we go down through here. Some are more general. In your life as a believer, praise is not always given to God. We can, then number 1 just discards 4 of them very quickly, for our purpose. And that is praise may be given by men to men. And so back in Luke 16, and this is not grace revelation, but it's in the list of the New Testament materials in Luke 16 and verse 8. It says, and the Lord commended the unjust servant because he had done wisely, for the sons of this world or this age are in their generation wiser than the sons of light. He said, I didn't hear praise. I read it, only it wasn't translated that way. It's the word commended. He praised the character. This is epineo. So the Lord there praised. So it was a man to a servant in that case. So you can see it can happen. Looking at the person's character when they did the work, even in Luke 16. 1 Corinthians 11 is right where we were with communion on Sunday. Isaiah Wheat, Chris was leading and was, so it's right in, but we're in the middle of that backward sandwich when we get in this. The 1 Corinthians 11, 2. Sorry, we're not getting there very fast. Okay. So I'm going to read from, verse 2. Well, from verse 1. Be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren. So here Paul, an apostle, is praising other brothers in Christ, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. The word ordinances is a word that's usually translated traditions. These things that are laid down that are of importance as I delivered them to you. And so you have Paul praising Corinthians. He's praising these people who are in a carnal church, and majority of them were probably carnal when he praised them. Down in verse 17, we have the word praise used of men. Now he's going to say the other side of it. Now, when this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. So you had problems with, there were divisions. You had women in head covering. There were issues with food. And so there was an inequity in the matter of meals. The slaves would bring the scraps to the table. The wealthy would bring their fancy dishes, and they never shared them. It wasn't a pot faith or potluck in that matter. And so he said, I can't praise you for that. When you come to the Lordian table and you're not showing that equality in the body of Christ, how can you partake of the cup when you're saying, we share the same covenant, we're equal there, we are in the same loaf, and we're equal there, and he says, I can't praise you. I don't see any character behind it. Qualities of character, we go back to our Philippians 4 passage, and we go down a couple of verses. Now, Philippians chapter 4, remember again, it said, be anxious for nothing, but then you have these terms for communication. In verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So it gives you a little bit of a list, and he says, count these things to be true. The word think is logizomai, which is the word for counting it to be true or imputed to be so. It's worth considering these things, he says. Okay, I'll go back and get it. Verse 7 is in between where we were earlier. And the peace of God will, that passes all understanding, will umpire your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't forget that's an in, not through. In that matter. Okay. So, in this case, there's particular qualities of character which are listed by name. It's kind of interesting when you look at those. It's not, of that list, you do not have specific elements of the fruit of the Spirit, but you have the ripples that come from them in that matter. And so he says, those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. And so it's very, very important. God of peace. Praise may be given to God, given by God of men. Let's go back, since we're going back from where we are, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 4, 5 first. And there we have God praising men when he says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Every man will have praise of God. Kind of interesting. When the Lord comes back, and we go through the Bema. I don't like to translate judgment seat of Christ just because the AV does. Bema is a place of reward. It's not a place of judgment. It is not equivalent to in any way the great white throne. What happens at the Bema? You have works that are judged. Everything else has been taken care of by Christ's work. And the works that you've done, some will be wood, hay, and stubble and will be burned. And some will be gold, silver, and precious stones, and they will be rewarded. And so that is what I like to call it a reward seat, though I prefer the Bema, which is a Greek word, on it. And so in this case, there will be a day, back many years ago now, when I was reading through this, I had trouble understanding. There were certain people in churches that I'd been in, that I couldn't fathom that were believers, but I couldn't fathom them getting any praise from God because of the way they behaved. And I still would like to think that some were believers, that behavior doesn't always show. But even of the most misbehaving of saints that are really in the family of God and in the body of Christ will receive praise at the Bema Seat, even though they blew it completely. And that's an encouraging word when it comes to some in that matter. Now back to Romans chapter 2 and verse 29. We have that second passage, only it's first in my list. Praise can be given by God to men. And it illustrates this as well. In 2:29 it says, "But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Now there are believers that try to impress other believers and men in general by their behavior, by their works. In Galatians, you have those who are doing it by the Mosaic law. And they're trying to impress people. And what they do that by their sin nature, attempting to show how righteous they are by their sin nature. And what it says here is that you're not, God's the one that makes it brings the praise. You may be gratified by having somebody talk about how holy you are, and you know better. That's what always seems to happen. But God is the one who brings praise where it is legitimate and real. I think we need to focus our attention there, that is what I do by the Spirit so God the Father can bring praise to for us in that matter, seeing it as it really is. Good works in the life of a believer place him into the praise of the glory of grace at the moment of salvation. And we have several passages beginning in Ephesians 1, the praise of the glory of his grace. And this begins at salvation. We get plugged into the grace of God the minute we believe the gospel. And so when we take that faith that God gives us and believe it, we get involved with the grace of God. And Ephesians 1 is a problem because it's a run-on sentence. So we're going to be fragmenting it here. It says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, in which he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Let's not do it that way. My hesitance was, I was going to translate it. In which he favored us. He graced us. Same word is found in Luke 1:28. When he talks to Mary, he said, "You're highly favored." And it's a verb there, same verb. And, if Mary was a Jewish gal, who was one of the most favored women of all of any Jew that was born, because she was the one who became the mother of the human nature of Messiah. And so that favor, ours is as good. He has favored us in the one who the Father loves. I like that. Because I'm in Christ, I receive the Father's love, just like Christ does. And I think there's a little bit different quality between persons of the Godhead and those who are in the body of Christ than those who are recipients of the God so loved the world kind of circumstance. And so that is a beautiful description of the fact we are really loved because we're in Christ by the Father. A very important concept that we need to remember. Down in verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. I forgot to say much about glory. Glory is God's opinion of himself. And he shows he is who he says he is. And so when we get to these glory passages, the praise of his glory, we're talking about praise that relates to who he says he is. His character is, as it were, on the line here. And so we need to be there. And you can see it says into the praise. It's interesting. He uses it infinitive to describe that, to be to the praise of the glory. Verse 14 repeats it. And it says, which is the down payment or earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession into or unto the praise of his glory. Under the praise of his glory. His opinion of himself. We have that opportunity to be in a position so that his character has manifested in our lives because of salvation brings praise. And it doesn't say specifically where here, but it's from the Godhead or from other believers. Last place we have this little phrase. It's in Philippians 1:11. And I'm going to begin at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more to, in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled. Sounds like a nice little passive voice, doesn't it? It is. It's a perfect passive, in fact. It's a state of having been filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto or into the glory and praise of God. So praise and glory run really close to each other. Well, there are a lot of directions we can go. Our regeneration is a kind of real close connection with glory, and so then with praise. Okay, we have arrived at 13:15. I talk about it, and let's go back and work on it. And I want to go word by word. Seems like I've been doing a lot of word by word in verses in the last month or so. And I'm getting pretty well close to where I need to be with it. By him, now this is that sacrifice. I have a, you know, what is it? How often? How is it defined? We could go a whole lot more than this, but what is it? It's called the fruit of our lips. Something that can be articulated, something that can be verbalized. In other words, it's rational. So there would be something that could be said. I mean, praise isn't just a feeling. In fact, none of this communication is a feeling. These are spiritual activities of the human spirit in action. And so the fruit of our lips is very important. So the sacrifice of praise, let us offer the fruit of our lips continually. Diapantos. I don't know why recently I've been covering all of these forms. Well, obviously coming out of Thanksgiving, we have a bunch of them. So it says, how often through the agency of all the time would be a better way to get the, I mean, all time, and is used temporally. So it's not something, it's like pray without ceasing. We don't hang up the phone. That's the next subject. This is a regular habitual activity. And we saw Thanksgiving was a habitual activity in Ephesians 5:20 of a spirit-filled believer. And this runs right in tandem with it, with this, how often. Now, the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. Now let's talk confession a bit. This will set us up when we get there, if the Lord tarries. The word confession is homologeo. The homogenized milk. Most people today have no idea what homogenized milk is. I haven't bought milk for a while. They used to say it was homogenized and pasteurized. I don't think I've seen it on a label. I don't know. I just, I don't drink much milk, and I will cook with it, but I don't Don't drink too much of it. And so anyway, but homogenized milk, I know all about it because I was raised in a pastor's home in a farming community with farmers who had cows. And so what would happen, we would get milk and we would get them in those big gallon jugs. I shouldn't call them jugs because they had big open lids. What were they, about 6 inches, 8 inches? And they'd screw down. What I remember is they always would put wax paper on, screw those lids down, and you'd get them home and you'd look in the refrigerator and you'd have cream. And if there was lots of cream on top, you'd sometimes hope that you might have whipped cream, or you might, well, sometimes we'd end up using a butter churn and churn out our own butter. It's the only time we had butter in that. Hama, it means to be the same thing. It means to mix the cream with the butter. It was a process that made it homogenized, and you just don't see that anymore. But that's the word hama. There are other terms that are used that way. Homophobe, those people who are afraid of the same thing. I wish that they would use the word heterophobe, because there's more of a problem with that than there is the other. And we won't go through more of them. But that's just, homa is the same thing. And lego, or logos, is word, or lego is a verb, to say the same thing. So when we confess his name, we are saying the same thing he does about his name. And so when you think about his name, you think attributes. Now, I've saved that to this point because I've used a couple of illustrations out of the attributes, but you have seven attributes. Every time I think of this, I think of a pastor I knew at one point, and he felt there were, I don't remember how many hundred attributes. I think his definition of an attribute was that anything attributed to God. And he was nuts with that. I mean, it was kind of crazy. I was at an ordination council, and he was going to teach everybody about all these attributes. And I thought, you know, he had not been where he needed to be to recognize these were elements that were the basis for divine activity. And that involves love, goodness, holiness, righteousness, truth, omniscience, omnipotence. Yeah, you know, I had to hesitate there a minute because I know I was short on omni. There are only two omnis, by the way, omnipotence and omniscience. There's no omnipresence because that's not an attribute. So when you think in these terms, when you think, well, God shows himself as unique, and that benefit, we could say, I praise you for your holiness. Or I've seen your power. I praise you for your power or your omnipotence. Or some evidence that God sees things as they really are, and you praise him for the true, his attribute of truth. And we could go through them all and have that privilege of addressing him in that particular manner. Now, when we talk about praise, it can illustrate out of the Gospels. And I think we can maybe get at least one, maybe two out of here before we have to hang up to this class. Luke 18:43. In Luke 18:43, we have a blind man. And he was outside of Jericho, it seems, which is down in the Aqaba, down in the Jordan Valley, as far as I was trying to get, north of the Dead Sea. Not a whole lot, not too far. I don't know that I'd want to necessarily hike it because it's so warm there. But it says in verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was come near unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. A blind man, he didn't know what was going on, but there was a bit of a crowd coming along, and he was, of course, curious, and he wanted to know who was coming by. And they said Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And so he calls out. It says he cried out and said, Jesus, son of David, be propitious to me. Have mercy on me. And so he appeals to him, and Jesus stood it. He wasn't laying down or crawling down the road. He just stood. He stopped. And he commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him. It was kind of interesting. The word ask here is, in this context, it's a word that we'll see in the upper room, where he says the disciples were asking in this way, but they weren't going to be able to do it anymore. It means to ask as an equal. So he asked him, saying, what do you desire that I should do unto thee, unto you? And he, the blind man, said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive your sight. He didn't give him any kinds of things to do. He just says, see again. Evidently, he had lost his vision because of the preposition anna in front of this. See again. The faith of you, or your faith has saved you or healed you. It is, and you heard me say save, has healed you. And it's kind of interesting. This blind man, when he was healed, well, was permanently healed. It's a perfect tense verb. He said, you are now in a state of being saved or being healed in this matter. And immediately, at once, he saw again. He had the same anablepo, the same root. He saw again, and he followed him, glorifying God, and all the people which saw it gave what? Gave praise to God. There's our word, praise. So as a blind man, they saw something about God. What did they see? Let's just go down some of this list. Did they see the love of God? They may have. Did they see the goodness of God? Well, I'm sure the blind man was happy and they were happy. That could have been there. Did they see the holiness of God? Not really clearly. The righteousness of God, they could construe it that way, probably. Truth. Then we get down to omnipotence. They saw power there that no one else could ever accomplish. And so I'm sure power was dominant in when they're praising him in that case. So that gives us a good place to break. I presume we will be talking about praising God, glory to God in the highest, and all of the events around the incarnation event. And okay, and so we'll be in Luke 2 when we get back next time, Lord willing, in that matter. So we're going to be working more praise. So let me look at how far we need to go. Yeah, we should tie it off next week. We may not get to where I want to go. That's okay. We'll do fine. Okay, let's pray. Father, we're grateful for these opportunities that are ours to study what we should be practicing. To be able to understand better the continual activity of a believer who is aware as a spiritual believer of that which benefits are provided. So we are thankful and we praise in tandem. We appreciate it. May you guide us in the next hour to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.